ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
UW-Milwaukee is a veterans-friendly campus. In fact, there are more military veterans enrolled at UWM than at any other college or university in the entire Midwest. More than 1,400 vets are part of the UWM family. So it should be no surprise that UWM is also home to a chapter of ROTC, the Reserve Officer Training Corps. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to learn more about the ROTC program and the people who are part of it. Joining us in the studio is McKenna Sandberg. She's a senior in social work and an award-winning cadet. We're going to learn more about that. And Sergeant First Class James Neville, UWM's ROTC Scholarship and Recruitment Coordinator and a military science instructor. James, McKenna, welcome to UWM Today. Great to have you on today's program.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
James, let's start with you. Long history of ROTC on the UWM campus.
Yes, sir. UW-Milwaukee started ROTC back in 1967. It was going strong all the way up until about 1996. It kind of started to dwindle away and eventually phased out in 1999. It came back strong after 9/11, where there was a big surge in recruitment activities by the military. And we've been growing ever since. And we are part of the Golden Eagle Battalion, which is five different schools, Marquette University, MSOE, UW-Parkside, UW-Milwaukee, and Concordia.
And so all five of the universities really connected together in this officer training program.
Yes, sir.
What's the goal at the end? Is it the expectation that a student who gets involved in ROTC on campus is necessarily going to become an officer and enroll in the military?
It's twofold. One is adulting is hard. And that aspect of becoming a leader, both in the civilian sector and in the military, is crucial to, you know, becoming a well-rounded human being and a well-rounded, a productive member of society. So specifically at UW-Milwaukee, we teach leadership. Now, that doesn't mean that just because you're in the ROTC program or taking the classes, it doesn't mean that you will become a cadet and or move on to become a second lieutenant in the United States military. Any person can take the classes, the physical fitness class, the leadership classes at UW-Milwaukee. We don't hold any of that against anybody. What we try to facilitate, again, no matter, even if you don't want to do ROTC or if you're in the military, in the National Guard or Reserves, and you just want to take the class and you want to explore and become just better. So we push your boundaries of allowing you to fail, but fail in a controlled environment so that you can fail to success.
And is there classroom training as well as physical activities?
Yes, both. We teach the physical fitness activity is from 6:30 until 7:30 at the K Center. And then we
That's
have—
That's a Clatchy on yes, the UWM campus.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And then we also do the leadership class, which the freshman level class I teach. And then we have Captain Williams teach the sophomore class, which he's highly decorated special forces guy, works for the Secret Service. So he has a lot of knowledge in that. I have a lot of knowledge. I have 22 years in the military. So what we do is, again, we put them in during the lectures. We teach them fundamentals of tactics, but we also push them to learn who they are. Because as a freshman and sophomore, you're still figuring it out. I mean, you're fresh away from mom and dad, and you're really working through everything that you need to work through to become, you know, that member of society that, you know, they're looking for. They want leaders. They need leaders.
Well, let's talk about one of the people involved in the program, McKenna Sandberg. Great to have you with us today.
Thank
McKenna,
you.
How did you get involved in the ROTC?
I started out in the National Guard for about 2 to 3 years. And then one of the cadre members, like Sergeant Neville, her name is Sergeant Rosga, came up. And I work at the Military Education Benefits Office on campus. And so she came and found me and talked to me about the program. And I was a little hesitant at first, and then I ended up just becoming a participant. So I only went to PT on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And then I became immediately wrapped up in the program. I found my second family, and I started to go to more extracurriculars within ROTC. And then before I knew it, I was enrolled in the program and just started doing.
You said you were a little reluctant at first. Why,
yes,
why
I
the
was.
Hesitation if you're already in the National Guard?
I honestly didn't know what ROTC was about at first, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to become an officer. And so at that point, I was enlisted. And switching over to officer was kind of scary for me in a sense, I guess, because I wasn't completely a leader at that point. And when I became, or when I was new in the program, I didn't have the leadership attributes that I do right now.
What has it done for you? You talk about leadership. Is it the programming or the people that you're around that has helped you evolve?
It's both. It teaches you responsibility, teamwork, time management, and a lot of leadership skills like that.
Now, you're majoring in social welfare at UWM, and you're a senior, so you're going to be at a crossroads here pretty soon. Do you know what you're going to do? Are you going to continue on with the military after you graduate?
Yes, I am. I actually chose to go active duty. So in May, I'll commission as an active duty field artillery lieutenant, which was very hard for me because I do love social work and I love working with the youth. Right now I'm interning at the Division of Youth and Family Services at the Juvenile Justice Center, and I love that, but I'm more passionate about the military.
Where do you think it's going to take you?
I'm not sure, and I can always reevaluate after my four-year contract, and I could go back to the civilian world or I could stay within the military.
Okay. Do you still see yourself at some point using that social welfare degree?
Oh, definitely. I can see it play a role right now in ROTC just with the skills that I learn at UWM within their program.
James, as you listened to McKenna talk about her experiences, she talked about becoming a leader. That really echoes what you were saying a moment ago when you discussed the nature of the academic programs.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I mean, we look to build future leaders because one of the things that we emphasize is the aspect of when you get out of college, especially for a lieutenant, or you're going to be in charge of 30, 40 individuals, you're going to be telling them to do something very serious. I mean, our business is to make war, unfortunately, and no soldier ever wants to go to war. But when the nation calls us to do that, you know, her position as a lieutenant or the position that we, you know, she moves up to, lieutenants to captains and so forth, she's in charge of a lot of people that she has to put in danger. And so learning that skill and learning and understanding everything that she needs to provide, because if she doesn't know time management or if she doesn't know the other leadership qualities that she talked about, she could endanger her soldiers unnecessarily. And that's nothing that we take lightly in the becoming leaders. And also moving into the civilian sector, you know, especially with her degree and you know, there are people at stake. I mean, every time that you make a decision, from it be even a minor one, from do we close the school, for example, to do we send people into combat? Every decision has to be there has to be a process of do we take the easy way or do we take the hard way? And if I'm working harder for my people than they're working for me, I'm going to hopefully make them more successful for the organization. And that's something that we critically look into and we develop and we try to hone those skills throughout the 4 years.
McKenna, there is a lot of responsibility involved when you're in a leadership position in the military. As James just said, you'll have people reporting to you. Is that a daunting thought as you consider what lies ahead for you?
No, actually, I like having the responsibility of being in charge of people. This past semester, I was in charge of around 20 to 25 cadets at UWM. And I like the idea of them coming to me with their problems and me being able to be like a mentor to them or someone that they know they can go to.
Now, you come from a military family, right? If
Correct.
I'm not mistaken. Talk about other members of your family. Your dad, I think, was in the military.
Yes. So my dad was infantry and he was also airborne, which I am too, and he was in for a while, and then my mom did not want to have that lifestyle anymore, so she said, either come with me or you can stay here, and of course he chose my mom.
Good choice.
Yes.
Good choice.
I think that was a good choice, too.
So has your dad talked to you about your career plans and the fact that you're following in his footsteps?
Oh, all the time. Even if something like little happens within ROTC, he's always the first person I call, either to vent to or when I get awards or anything, he's always the first person I want to tell it to.
Yeah, and how about your mom?
She is a little more hesitant on it. I don't think she likes the idea of me being gone for so long, but.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have an older brother.
And how about your brother? Is he interested in the military?
No, he's not. Actually, he just tried out for the Olympic volleyball team last month.
Okay, so a lot of regimentation there, right?
Yeah.
Make sure you're on point. What do your friends say, McKenna, when they find out that you're involved in the officer training program?
They love it. They think it's pretty interesting, but I always have to go back and explain things to them because they don't really understand some of the stuff that I have to do.
So a lot of your friends aren't involved in military activities right now?
A lot aren't, but then I do have some that are just because obviously you create friends when you're in the military.
Yeah. Is that camaraderie a big part of the draw for being in ROTC?
Yes, it is. I would say that the UWM program specifically is a second family. I mean, on Fridays, we would always do French Toast Fridays. We would eat breakfast together, and Sergeant Neville actually started that.
Terrific, terrific. James, you mentioned your own background, 20-plus years in the military.
Yes, sir.
How did you get interested in a military life?
Well, funny story. At 17, I was looking at life as not terribly exciting. I was going to, you know, I was rebellious against the government, all this stuff. I was thinking if they do a draft, because about every 5 years they talk about the draft. And
so wait a minute, you were one of those doubters.
I was not, military was not for me. I was going to run to Canada if I needed to, you know, Wisconsin's not too far away. So I'm from central Wisconsin, Neillsville, Marshfield area. But if they do the draft, I'm jetting. So I was like that. And then I went to Bethel up in the Twin Cities for 1 year, and I found out how expensive college was. I come from a very poor background. And I was like, holy crap, this is not easy. Adulting is hard. And so I transferred down to UW-Whitewater, mostly for a girl, but I transferred down there and finished up my degree there in organizational communication. But before I left Bethel, I joined the National Guard so that it would pay for college. So I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford schooling, and that was the only option I had. So I did it, and I haven't looked back.
So you got into the military in part to help pay the bills, to pay
Absolutely.
For your education. Did you ever have an inkling back then that you would be spending a career in the military?
No. Another funny story, how I got stayed in the military. So I did ROTC when I was at UW-Whitewater, and I didn't do very well. I wasn't like McKenna over there. She's a star. I wasn't great with my grades or anything like that. But so I ended up not getting through ROTC. With that, while you're in ROTC, the program says that the time that you spend ROTC does not count with the National Guard time. So it's kind of a weird contractual thing. So what happened was I ended up being extended to the point which in 2004 I got stop lost to go to Iraq with my unit. So I would have been out a year before if I wouldn't have done ROTC, but I did, and I got stop lost, and I went to Iraq as a logistics sergeant, and I loved it. I loved the active duty. I loved the sense of fulfillment I got from it. And right after I got back, I went right into the Wisconsin National Guard AGR program, the active duty kind of program, and started working my way through the program. And now I can retire in about 4.5 years and
start another career.
Find my second career, yes, sir.
So I've got to ask. I grew up at a time you talk about, you know, heading north to Canada if there was a draft. I grew up at a time during the Vietnam War when we did have a lottery and a draft, and my number was high enough. I was in college and I never went, but I remember a fella down the hall from me in the dorm I was living in from New York City, actually, had number 4, as I recall, in the draft.
Yeah.
And he was just devastated because he said, I don't want to go. I don't want to fight. You know, I don't want to do that. And that sort of stayed with me as I consider that we're all wired differently. Now, I don't know whether he left for Canada or what his plans are. We lost track of each other over the time. But you know, would you agree that that a military life isn't one that all of us might adapt to as well as you do?
I would agree. There has to be an intrinsic feeling and not an extrinsic. So I joined because of an extrinsic. I wanted college paid for, and I fell in love with the intrinsic, the service to nation, service to people, service to the kind of the band of brothers kind of feeling, or band of brothers and sisters feeling that you get. As Miss McKenna has said, it's very much like a family. It's secondary family. I mean, if you go through something hard, they're there for you. I mean, even if you're going through something hard with your family, they're there for you. It's amazing, and it's just amazing.
I could tell you're really, really proud to be wearing the uniform, which you're wearing as we sit here in the studio. If you folks who are listening would like to see James and McKenna, James in uniform, you could go to the WUWM.com website, and we'll have a picture of the three of us connected to the recording link for this program. McKenna, as James talked about the fact that the military is not for anyone, how about in your case? You said before you have a lot of friends who are not military-minded, if you will. Do any of them ever give you a hard time about being in the military? You know, people who may be pacifist or who may not appreciate the tremendous value that the military has in terms of protecting our country.
No, I've been pretty lucky so far. I haven't gotten any comments like that. I would say the only comments I get is when I'm getting up at like 4 a.m., and I'm complaining about it, and they're like, well, you chose this for yourself, which is true. I did, and I have to remind myself that I'm lucky that I get to do this, and I'm doing something that I love. But now, it definitely isn't for everybody.
Now, you know, realistically, we still have many, many military men and women who are serving in combat theaters. You know, Afghanistan war is still going on. We have people in Somalia. We have people in Iraq yet. And there is a chance that you may find yourself at some point in your military career in a combat zone. Does that scare you at all?
No, it doesn't. Last year, actually, my National Guard unit deployed. Well, this summer they did. And I wanted so badly to go with them. But my contract with ROTC didn't let me. So I have a bunch of friends right now from my old unit in, like, Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah. And you wanted to be with them?
100%.
Yeah. Do you think that there'll be a point in your future where you do find your way into one of those operations on the front line?
I hope so.
Yeah, that's just fabulous. I mean, amazing that you're willing to make that commitment because, as I mentioned, I think a lot of us, and I'd never had the opportunity to serve. My parents did, my father did, many folks in my family did, and I think I and many others who have not served in the military are a bit in awe of what you, McKenna, and you, James, have done in terms of your commitment, not only the time out of your life style as you knew it, but really putting your life on the line. That's really quite a remarkable thing.
Yeah, it kind of feels, it doesn't feel like that when you're doing it, if that makes any sense. Once, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. There isn't a week that doesn't go by that I don't get a high five from a kid or I get a handshake. I think just coming to the building, there was 3 or 4 people that shook my hands and thanked me for my service. And we appreciate that, and we love that, and that's really awesome. And you know, comparative to, you know, Vietnam type era, it, you know, it's a totally different respect factor and a humbling experience for a soldier that happens. But you know, people can say that you do it because it's service to the nation, which is it's part of it, but it's a very small part. You could say it because, oh, well, I'm going to make money while I'm in Iraq. It's tax-free. That's minor. But really, you're going there to, you know, You're going there to protect your brothers and sisters in arms, and that's the feeling that you have. That's why I'm assuming, Miss McKenna, that was a feeling. It's like they're going there without me. I want to be there. I want to be in the trenches with them because I care about them and I care about, and I would lay down my life for them without a second thought. And that's the feeling that makes me wake up every day loving this, even 22 years later.
McKenna, as you listen to James describe his experiences now a couple of decades in the military, do you feel those same desires inside you to follow in that footstep of service?
Yes, absolutely. I would say that's another reason I do it. Like I talked about how I have friends overseas right now, that's the main reason I was so upset that I couldn't go, is because it's the fact that they're going without me. Not that I just can't go there, but that I have spent the past 3 years with them, and they're going to get to experience this without me, and I'm going to be here without them. So
I have the feeling you'll catch up to them sometime soon. I mentioned earlier at the start of the program that you've received a number of awards for your engagement already in both National Guard and ROTC. Let's talk about that.
So one of the first awards I would say that I got through ROTC was through Ranger Buddy Competition, and that's actually held at Kansas State University. And you have this partner that you can get from another person in the program. So my partner was Cadet Harrington, and she's from MSOE, actually. And you go to this competition, and you do a 9-mile ruck. And then you do about 16 different tasks. That could be land navigation, throwing a axe. That's one of the weird ones. And then at the end, you do a 3-mile run. And whichever pair finishes first wins. And the incentive of winning is you get either an air assault slot or an airborne slot. And so me and Harrington won that award, and I actually got to go to airborne school this past summer, which was incredible, and I've always wanted to go there because my dad has that too.
Did you jump out of any airplanes?
Yes, I did, and it was terrifying.
But you did have a parachute, which is very, very important. We have to make sure. And also recognized for your leadership, I understand.
Correct. So this past summer, you have to go through an officer evaluation, and it's called Advanced Camp. And that's between your junior year and your senior year. And it's about a month long. You spend about 21 days of that actually in the field, getting showers probably every 7 days. And they just evaluate you on your leadership skills and somewhat tactics as well. Uh-huh. And you're within a platoon. And then once you get ranked within that platoon, then you get ranked within a company, which is, I would say, about 120. And then after that, you get ranked within the companies and then within the regiment. So overall, it's about 800 cadets. And I was lucky enough to get ranked number one at the end.
Wow, wow. You must be in great shape physically, right?
I try to do
that. That is, James, as you listen to McKenna talk about her accomplishments, it's got to make you feel proud knowing that you're, you know, helping to lead her at the UWM program.
Oh, I don't know. It's kind of a symbiotic relationship. She helped teaches me a lot of stuff, even 22 years after it. The focus I have is, as a sergeant first class, my desire is to see these young people become great, outstanding lieutenants. And Miss McKenna is going to be one of those outstanding lieutenants that, as a platoon sergeant, I can follow. So that's my judgment, is if I can follow you, then I've done my job. If I can't follow you, then I failed you. So that's really what I look for in each and every cadet that comes through the process, finishes up to become a lieutenant.
I mentioned earlier that UWM has more veterans currently enrolled on campus than on any other college or university campus throughout the Midwest, which is quite remarkable when you think about some of the big universities, bigger than UWM, University of Michigan, University of Illinois, UW-Madison, you know, in some cases thousands more total students, and yet UWM has more veterans enrolled here. What role has that played in creating a supportive atmosphere for the Reserve Officer Training Corps?
Well, we are committed with the VAC, which is the Veterans Affairs Committee. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but we're committed with them, which talks directly to the chancellor. We have a lot of insight and a lot of ability to ensure that our veterans are taken care of on UW campus with talking to the vet groups and through the VAC.
So you have conversations with the vets, the people who no longer are in the military but did serve for
yes,
many years.
Yes, down at the Maverick, at the vet center, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And McKenna, for you, what does that mean to be surrounded by as many veterans as we have on campus, knowing that you're just beginning your military career?
Mm, it's great, actually. Like I said before, I work at the Military Education Benefits Office.
So you see these folks
every day.
On a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And
are they encouraging you on, knowing that you're just beginning your journey?
Always, always. And they always have great advice to give me. Every time I see them, they're like, hey, good luck. Like, you'll do great in the future.
Yeah, that's got to be rewarding to know that you're surrounded by role models there, right?
Mm-hmm, it's definitely.
Yeah. James, as you take a look at the future of ROTC, you described that, it's had its really big, strong days at the over the years, now more than 50 years old on the UWM campus. And then it actually went out of existence for a brief period of time and then came firing back strong after 9-1-1. Where do you see ROTC 5-10 years from now?
Oh, gosh. I see it growing. I think we have a great campus. I think we have a great set of leaders that are on campus, and our desire to move the ROTC program to get larger and larger. Again, even if it's not even people that want to be in the military but want to be part of the learn leadership, we would love to see our classes grow and give the ability for them to just experience failing in a controlled environment so that they can succeed when it actually matters.
So people interested in business, entrepreneurship. I mean, it sounds like a classic boot camp type environment.
Well, any person, no matter what you do after you get out, even if you're a stay-at-home mom, you're still leading. You're leading your kids. You're leading the PTO. You're leading whatever. I just my daughter's in Brownies. I'm leading a bunch of cookie sales. So.
And leadership obviously is suits both of you well. Well, thanks so much for taking some time today to share your thoughts, observations, conversation about the Reserve Officer Training Program, ROTC, which is still going strong on the UWM campus after all these years. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
McKenna Sandberg and James Neville, both part of the UW-Milwaukee ROTC program, our guests on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.